Dr. Plato, welcome to this special podcast of Science Friday from sciencefriday.com.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca. Ira Flato is off today. Whenever the debate over global warming heats up, someone inevitably pulls out the hockey stick. Although the debates do get heated, it's not a real stick, but a graph that looks like a hockey stick lying on the ground with its blade pointing up. It was constructed by three climate researchers led by Dr. Michael Mann. It shows global temperatures rising dramatically in the last century. It's become an icon for global warming, an easy-to-understand visual summing up often complex statistics. But is it accurate? Does it really represent what's going on? That's been the subject of debate by researchers inside and outside the climate research community. The authors stand by their work, and their results have been reproduced in other studies. But questions linger. Now, Representative Joe Barton of Texas is asking the questions. Barton is a chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Last month, Representative Barton asked Michael Mann to supply him with all of his data, his funding sources, and a host of other questions related to this work. The request by Representative Barton has opened a new debate over the role of Congress and the scientific process. Does science need to have this level of congressional oversight? How much data can congressmen and women reasonably ask scientists to provide? Could the specter of a congressional inquiry have a chilling effect on scientists who might find results that some in Congress may not like? That's what we'll be talking about this hour, so give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. If you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. And now let me introduce my first guest. Elizabeth Shogren is a national environment correspondent for NPR, and she joins me here in Studio 3A. Thanks for coming over today, Elizabeth.
Nice to be here.
So what exactly is Mr. Barton asking these scientists to provide?
He sent long letters to all three of the scientists and asked them for detailed information about the data they used in their research, the computer codes they used to analyze the data, and also all the information they had about the grants and the money that they used in that report. And this wasn't just information about this research. It was every study they'd been involved with that was concerning climate change. And he also wanted to know lots of information about when that information was made publicly available and how.
Is it unusual for a congressman to ask for this kind of data?
It is unusual. I've talked to lots of people in the science community and also people in Congress, and they can't point to another event where a member of Congress asks for this detailed of information directly from scientists. However, it's not unusual for scientists to be asked hostile questions from members of Congress when it comes to climate change, because, as you know, it's a very controversial issue and the struggle between science and policy has gone on for years. About 10 years ago, another Republican in the House, Dana Rohrabacher, asked the Department of Energy about some research done by Benjamin Santer, another climate scientist. He worked for Livermore, a federal laboratory, and his controversial at the time, suggested that there might be a link between human activities and global warming. A few years before that, Senator Al Gore held a hearing, and he asked Sherwood Isda, who was then a scientist for the Department of Agriculture, to ask some questions. And Isda remembers that as a very blistering question and answer session.
So it can happen. How has Barton's request played with other members of Congress? Have they been okay with that?
Not all of them, in fact. Representative Sherwood Bollert is a fellow Republican and also a chairman of a House committee. He's the chairman of the Science Committee. He said that Barton's request is illegitimate, and he said it was intended to intimidate scientists, and he's not at all happy about it.
So, I mean, we do think there's a subtext here that the Representative Barton is not in favor of or doesn't feel that there's global warming taking place, and he's trying to find out information that seems to suggest it is, or he's trying to maybe undermine. Is that what we think is happening?
Well, what Barton says, and I think that there's a lot to be said for that, what he says is that the remedies are extraordinarily expensive. And so he wants to be able to make sure there's no hole in any of these theories before he makes the money available for the remedies.
So have the scientists given the representative what he wants yet?
Well, they are starting to give some things to the representative. He's gotten some replies, and more will be forthcoming. He seems to be very happy with the response. And they're coming not just from scientists, but also from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and also from the National Science Foundation. He's asked them hard questions, too.
The Intergovernmental Panel was the panel that looked at global climate change and argued that it was happening. That was a few years ago.
Yes, and used the hockey stick very prominently in its report.
Right. Okay, Elizabeth, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Elizabeth Shogren is National Environment Correspondent for NPR News. Now we're going to turn to the broader question of, just who has the right to ask for what when it comes to inquiring about scientific research and the data that underpins it. I'd like to introduce my next guest. Myron Ebell is the Director of Global Warming and International Environmental Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C. He joins me here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Alan Leshner is the Chief Executive Officer of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and Executive Publisher of the journal Science. He's also here in the studio. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And you're welcome to join our conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And maybe I can start with you, Alan Leshner. Barton's decision to ask for this data is not unprecedented. Why is it causing a kerfuffle here?
A lot of it has to do with the style of the inquisition as opposed to an inquiry. Rather than simply expressing interest, asking for a hearing, which, by the way, that one was held yesterday by the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources on this precise topic. He went and, with a highly accusatory tone, asked some very, very detailed questions with a very short turnaround. And, in fact, it came off as a hostile inquisition as opposed to a reasonable inquiry into the kinds of findings that might be relevant to the decisions policymakers have to make.
So you're saying it's not the questions themselves, but the manner in which they were asked and the time. As I recall, the researchers were only given 2 weeks to respond, and there was quite a lot of information asked for. But you think he's within his rights to ask for this kind of information?
Well, we believe that, of course, Congress has the right to ask about scientific information, and, of course, we want the opportunity for science to contribute to policymaking. However, it can be very chilling to have a very accusatory letter sent to you that talks about allegations of methodological flaws, data errors, and your willingness to share your data or not in an accusatory tone when, in fact, these investigators, of course, are not the only people who ever worked on climate change. And, of course, most of their findings have, in fact, been replicated. So it wasn't just a simple inquiry. It was much more a very hostile, sounded like an inquisition, attempt to undermine the credibility of these scientists.
Myron Ebell, was this an inquiry or an inquisition?
Well, I think it was an inquiry, and I think it was a perfectly proper one. I do believe that the tone of handling these kinds of inquiries is important, but I do think that you have to look at the history of Congress and the committee system and the way Congress operates in trying to investigate how the taxpayers' money is being spent. I think the tone of this letter is actually fairly mild compared to the tone that you might find if they were writing a letter to a defense contractor or a corporation accused of some kind of malfeasance.
But this is, as Dr. Leshner just said, this is a little bit out of the usual. I mean, it was a quick turnaround. It required, if somebody asked me for this level of information in such a short turnaround, I don't think I'd have time to do anything else but comply. Is that reasonable, or is it asking too much of scientists?
Well, I think maybe people have gotten out of practice. When John Dingell was the chairman of that subcommittee and that full committee, it was called the Star Chamber. And very many people who might be targets of the Star Chamber had law firms retained on a monthly retainer to tell them how to deal with subpoenas that might come from Chairman Dingell. So I think if I had a fault to find fault with Chairman Barton and Subcommittee Chairman Whitfield, it is that I think since the Republicans took over in 95, the Republicans in general, not just them, but all the committees, have not done a terribly good job on oversight and investigations of how taxpayers' money is being used.
Okay. I think we have time to invite our listeners into this conversation before we have to take a break. So let's take a call from Rich in Rochester, New York, I presume that is. Rich, are you there?
Yes. Hi. My comment and thought is that in today's day of information and computers, I would think that the scientists would always keep that stuff consolidated and together, their research, and maybe they should look at doing that, because they're always being put on the spot, even by other scientists asking them about their researches and to validate it. And I don't think it's really that bad. I totally agree that there's climate warming, but maybe it's not bad to expose, to bring out that information.
Okay.
And to show proof of what's going on.
Rich, thanks for your question. Alan Leshner, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree in general that it's, of course, a good idea to have your data at the ready. But in this particular case, it wasn't a question about your recent work or even what the consensus in the scientific community is, which is overwhelmingly that there's global warming. Here, these scientists were asked to talk about their entire life's work, all of the financial support they ever received in incredible detail, and to talk about all their collaborators, their subcontracts. It was a level of inquisition over someone's entire lifetime that could only be interpreted as an attempt to discredit the work.
Well, that's, I suppose, but, I mean, as the caller asked, Rich just said, I mean, a lot of this data is handled electronically. Isn't it all there? Just turn over the file and move on? Doesn't take that much time.
Well, not quite that simple, because if you were to look through the letter that Congressman Barton sent, in fact, it was tremendous levels of detail. Okay. Not only your curriculum vitae, but give us all of your federal grants and the sub-agreements and the agreements.
Michael Mann has sent in a lot of information, and let's assume that he sends in, 20 data tapes and 50 charts and, 400 notebooks or whatever his data is contained in. Is the congressman in a position to analyze this information? Can he make sense of it?
Well, like everything Congress does, experts will be consulted. I think some of the background that you need to keep in mind in terms of this particular request, and it goes not only to these three scientists, but also to the current chairman of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is that Michael Mann and his colleagues published some papers which were used, as you said earlier, featured in the third assessment report from the IPCC. It was a very prominent promotional tool. It was a very large color graphic of a hockey stick shape showing 900 years of stable climate and then 100 years of rapid rise in temperature. And that featured item, it's interesting that in the letter from the AAAS that Mr. Leshner sent, it said that this was widely vetted by the people at the IPCC, but it turns out that the lead author of that chapter of the third assessment report was Michael Mann. And so, you see, I think legitimate questions have been raised about the use or the misuse of scientific evidence to promote an agenda of global warming alarmism. And I think the real interest that Chairman Barton and Chairman Whitfield have in this in the House of Representatives is not only scientific funding and the fact that federal tax dollars were used by some of these people, but also the IPCC is promoting an agenda that, if it were adopted, would cost the U.S. and the world trillions of dollars in lost economic activity. So this has a much more policy punch than your typical scientific research you know, hoo-ha.
But the question is it not the scientific community that's the best position to answer the question of whether this is an appropriate graph and not the policymakers? I mean, the scientists put out the science, and the policymakers make policy based on the science. Are they the ones that can also vet the science?
Well, I'd like to believe that, but unfortunately, I think I've learned that every special interest in the world, including scientists, have vested interests. They have a particular way of looking at things that often serves their own purposes. And I think in this case, I think we've already heard from Dr. Leshner some of this talk about the overwhelming consensus. Well, what does that have to do with whether this piece of research was really cooked up? The attempt to silence critics by sort of leading scientific spokesmen. So I think that the scientific community in this instance have joined what I would call the global warming bandwagon, and they are not doing a very good job of being skeptical and being using scientific inquiry to try to get at the truth. I think that there's an awful lot going on now that is what I would call the bandwagon mentality, and it does not serve the public debate, and I think, unfortunately, it's harming the scientific research community. So I think a lot is at stake here.
Do you think, Alan Leshner, do you think the scientific community has been tarnished by its role in the climate change debate?
Absolutely not. Over 95% of the scientific community agrees that there's been global warming. The President of the United States recently stated at the G8 meeting that the surface of the Earth is warmer and an increase in greenhouse gases caused by humans is contributing to the problem. There's not a question whether the Earth is getting warmer, and we could go through all of the data for that. There's also no evidence of a conspiracy in this scientific community. What's the community got to gain from it? The truth on this particular chapter in the IPCC report is that there were 100 authors of the chapter, 700 references. This one study does not, in fact, determine true or false whether there's global warming. It's part of a whole body of scientific literature. If the Congress wants to have an objective investigation into climate change science, go to the National Academy of Sciences, go to the Congressional Research Services, have formal congressional hearings. This is singling out particular scientists whose work you don't like and, frankly, appearing to try to intimidate them.
All right. Well, let's take a call now. And how about if we go to Chris in Philadelphia? Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. I'm interested in the idea of scientific, the transparency in funding. I would just ask that be turned around on the congressman and say, where is your money coming from? Because then you'll find out who's asking these questions.
Interesting. And do you have any knowledge of that, the answer to that question?
I do not. It's a question. I don't have the answer. It's a question. I would be curious to see what happened if somebody said, all right, congressman, let's pull out your records and see where your money's coming from. And if it's coming from ExxonMobil and BP, then, you know, you might find some answers to that question.
Okay,
so,
Chris.
Do some research on that.
Interesting question. Is it relevant to ask the question in that direction, or do we just say these are the elected officials of the United States government and they get to ask what they want?
I think it's very relevant. I think it's very relevant. I think transparency in all of these areas is very important. I think there is much more transparency about where members of Congress get their campaign funds because they have to file with the Federal Election Commission, and that's available. Their filings are available on the web. Now, there may be other areas where transparency should be improved, but I think that when we're looking at what is now a $2 billion a year industry in the scientific community, and just in terms of federal funding for climate research, and I believe now it's actually over $2 billion a year of federal funding for climate research, plus a lot of other funding, I think you can see that this really is a big industry now, and that there are self-interested motives that we could be suspicious of. I'm not saying that in any one particular case those self-interested motives have gotten in the way of scientific research, but I think outside observers, particularly taxpayers who are putting up their money, should be able to say, we need to know some things about this before we keep this bandwagon going and the gravy train flowing.
Right, but at the same time, the worst thing if you're on a gravy train, the worst first thing would be to come up with a definitive answer, because then you'd be done.
That will never happen.
Well, but I'm suggesting that as long as they say more research is needed and there's no, and policymakers can't make decisions without more information, then they're going to be in business permanently. I mean, that seems to be a little bit counterproductive to the question of whether or not they would say, look, we have a clear signal that there's something happening here and we need to do something about it. I mean, they would seem to be shooting themselves in the foot if they made that argument.
Well, no, I don't think that that's what the people who sort of lead what I would call the activist brigades in the scientific community on global warming are saying. They are saying we still need a lot of research and we still do need to keep those federal funds flowing. But they're also saying we need to start down a path of controlling energy use that I think should give us all strong reason to say, hey, wait a minute, let's look into this a little more closely, which is what I think the House Committee and Chairman Barton are trying to do.
Alan Leshner, is there a way to help the congressman understand the answers to the questions he wants? Is there something that the scientific community should do for him?
Absolutely. I think that the scientific community, Ralph Cicerone, the president of the National Academy of Sciences, offered to convene a special panel of the National Academy of Sciences to help Congressman Barton get the answers that he wants to the questions about climate change. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable approach. I'm in favor of it.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you both very much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Myron E. Bell is the Director of Global Warming and International Environmental Policy for the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C., and Alan Leshner is the Chief Executive Officer of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and the Executive Publisher of the journal Science.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit sciencefriday.com for more information on this topic and every topic we talk about on Science Friday. See you next time. I'm Ira Flatow.